This is CliffCentral.com. It's Kungs. I love that name, Kungs. You gotta be careful how you say that. Say it too fast, it could sound like you're being rude.
Yeah.
Alright, this girl, cliffcentral.com. Isn't that exciting? We're gonna be launching a program effectively to help you take your business to the next level. That's with Alon Raise and Raise Corp. And if you want to know more, you can email me, gareth@cliffcentral.com, or you can send it straight to partner@raisecorp.com. That's partner@raisecorp, RAIZCORP.com.
What an interesting dude.
Mm. Yeah, terrific guy, and so humble and so unegotistical.
Yeah.
And yet having had such success every step of the way. All right, listen to this quickly. Speaking of people who need to take things to the next level, here's an actual copy of the email that Weinstein sent out a few hours before being fired by his company.
Oh,
you
want to
hear
really?
It? This is what Harvey Weinstein sent out just before he was fired. My board is thinking of firing me. All I'm asking is let me take a leave of absence and getting to heavy therapy and counseling. Whether it be in a facility or somewhere else, allow me to resurrect myself with a second chance. A lot of allegations are false, as you know, but given therapy and counseling as other people have done, I think I'd be able to get there. I could really use your support or just your honesty if you can't support me. But if you can, I need you to send a letter to my private Gmail address. The letter would only go to the board and no one else. We believe what the board is trying to do is not only wrong, but might be illegal and would destroy the company. If you could write this letter backing me, getting me the help and the time away that I need, and also stating your opposition to the board firing me, it would help a lot. I'm desperate for your help. Just give me the time to have therapy. Do not let me be fired. If the industry supports me, that is all I need. With all due respect, I need that letter today.
No, don't guilt us now.
How's that, huh?
Mm.
Don't guilt us. Something about, like, if you really care about the industry. No.
Mm-mm. Or if you really care about me.
No, you're really seedy. And, like, that's it.
But that's the kind of manipulation the guy was doing while he was doing all the bad things.
I just don't... I'm trying to understand, because I always want to give people the benefit of the doubt or just to get into their mindset. What is his idea? What's his intention? What's his vision? Does he still want to carry on working? This has nothing. Like, does he
just
still think
to get away with it, dude?
Look, I really think that everyone on earth deserves a second chance, but you don't deserve a fourth or a fifth or a sixth chance. And if you've been a creep and you got caught out, and then you begged for forgiveness and you said, I want to try and fix my life, which he seems to say. I don't know whether he means it or not. I'm not a psychologist. But I do think that there are a lot of people who make mistakes. And then there are people who are just habitual bad people.
And there's levels of mistakes, man. I mean, if you tax frauded, it's one thing. It's another thing if you like inflicting manky sex things on people.
Yeah, exactly.
You're 65 years old. You have tons of cash. Go, yeah, as you are in Europe, and you can have girls revolving at your door. But, like, just get away from us now, please.
One thing I've never understood, though, and it's probably a very long discussion and probably not one where we want to go into too much detail, but there's no – if you manipulate or trick or guilt or force someone into – there's no – gratification in that kind of thing.
This is what we were talking about
yesterday.
We were just saying yesterday.
I don't feel my ego boosted. I don't want to enjoy that. I can't even, and again, I don't want to give anyone TMI, but I can't even enjoy it if the other person doesn't seem to be.
Exactly.
Like, it's got to be a jewel for you.
All right, this is why I don't get those people who date rape.
Yeah, it's got to be a jewel for you. I can't even imagine
my
liking
thrill,
that.
My thrill is if you are having fun.
Straight up, dude.
Right.
I think we'd need a therapist to explain this.
I get an ego boost from it. It's fun.
That releases all those endorphins.
Well, yeah, I'm like, look how much this more attractive person than me is enjoying me.
Right.
Voluntarily and of their own volition.
Yeah. Well, everything has to be voluntarily.
Well, exactly, but that's like the thing. If you my trick worked.
Imagine sitting at
my
dinner.
My guilt worked.
Forget about sex, because that's too obvious.
Mm-hmm.
If you're sitting at dinner with someone, and the purpose was to have an interesting conversation, and they are not enjoying it, No matter how hard you try, you're trying and trying and trying. You're bringing up different subjects, and you're asking them about themselves, and you feel like you're pulling out every weapon to engage with them, to connect them to the conversation, and it's just not working. That is the most depressing, horrible way to spend an evening.
That never happens to me, but I imagine it's quite difficult.
You know, it's funny. Like, again,
social validation.
It has zero to do with you, actually. It's got everything to do with the other person. It's like you meet people on a daily basis who are effusive and fun. I mean, Sia's a lot like this. He's the kind of guy who just gives a lot.
I love Sia.
You get energy back. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And you do get people in the world who just suck up energy.
Yeah.
They just take everything that you give, and they never give a thing
and
back.
If you're making someone do anything, like forget sex, just in general, socially, any kind of interaction, writing Harvey a letter, for example, if you're doing it out of guilt, that person knows you're doing it out of guilt. Like, everybody, there's the subtext, you know. It's like passive-aggressive bullshit on social media. You know what the person's talking about. It's like, I know you're only doing this because you kind of have to.
No,
you know you're
care.
Pretending to be my pal because you kind of have to. Yay, let's go to the exclusive gym in LA. It's like, who feels like they're winning?
You know, it's interesting. I heard such a great interview with Russell Brand talking to Joe Rogan.
I watched it. There's two, and they're both awesome.
Okay.
Something interesting came up. Russell Brand said, I've got to thank you for something. And Joe Rogan didn't know what he was talking about. Russell Brand had asked Joe Rogan to hook up some of his mates with tickets to either to a fight or to a comedy show.
Yeah.
Whatever it was. And Joe Rogan said, are these people important to you?
He said, yeah, I'll hook you up, but just who are these people and do they matter to you?
Do they matter to you? Are they important to you? And then Russell Brand thought about it for a while, and he thought, nah, they're nice people, but they're not that important to me that I need to give them Joe Rogan's personal cell phone number and ask him for tickets to help them out. And you wonder about how many people in your life.
And he's like, I'm just trying to validate myself by showing people I can get them backstage at Joe Rogan.
Oh,
correct. So he didn't do it. He didn't do it. And he wanted to – he actually thanked Rogan for saying, you know, tell me who they are so that I can understand
what's their relevance to you.
Because you're important to me. In other words, if they're important to you, I can make them important to me. People don't go that far. They don't go that deep. And a lot of us try to people please a lot of the time. So we'll either go to the extreme where, sure, here's some tickets, whatever. I'll help you with whatever you need. I'll bring this to the party. I'll do that. I'll give you this money. You need X, Y, and Z. Whatever it is, we all jump to. Well, not all of us. Some of us jump to. And the other group of people always say no.
Mm. Yeah, but it's like also say, you just suddenly have the realization, like Russell Brand would have had the realization, like, I want these people to like me, but shit, do I really want them to like me because I can get access to Joe Rogan's show? Is that why I want them to like me?
But
like,
a lot of people don't ask that. And the bottom line is, as long as you like me, it's fine.
Yeah, well,
and I've been in that situation. I'll admit that.
Yeah, me too.
Where I don't know what it is in you. You just want to be liked. You just want that approval. So you'll compromise yourself to go to that point.
Yeah.
Can I ask you something?
Mm-hmm.
Sia got married over the weekend.
I want to know all about the weekend, dude.
So there was an unofficial ceremony and everything. Sia got married.
Yes.
He sent us the video.
Absolutely.
Do you know this girl?
Oh, I knew her for a few hours.
That's a plot twist.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Okay. And she's lesbian.
Okay.
I'm just going to play this through the phone. It's not great.
It's going
quality.
The long way around, but it'll work.
Yeah, that's how my vows started.
All you've got.
Yeah.
So you were here to witness this beautiful match between Sia and who? What's her name?
Carla.
Yeah, it's your wife.
Yeah.
Look at them. This is an actual ceremony. There's some guy with a tie-dye t-shirt.
Yes.
Was it an arranged marriage or were you guys consensual?
It was a lot. So here's the thing. After, like, Opie, the thing is, and you can relate, after a crazy night out, you get these waves of memories that come back, like, oh, shit, oh, that happened. Oh, I forgot that, but that happened. And I got an actual reminder by people now sending footage. They're like, listen, dude, do you remember you got married? I vaguely, as I spoke about it on Monday's show, I just remember she and I were discussing the fact that we wanted to meet one of the artists performing on stage. So we thought in the midst of, like, the performance, I was going to get on one knee and I was going to propose to her so that somehow that catches their attention and they'll call us backstage. I forgot that we had a full-on ceremony and we got married. So officially, I am married.
Oh, congrats, Sia.
Thank you very much.
We say.
It means congratulations.
So much that I don't even fully remember.
Have you and Carla and your lesbian wife can figure out the mechanics of the whole thing?
Sia, what's the next step?
What's the next step, Sia? Children?
I think the next step is not even divorce. It's like an annulment. Legally, everywhere, officially, it must just be wiped off.
You guys need to, like, adopt a Cambodian, and then you'll be, like, the most politically correct couple that there is.
Yeah.
Like, full ethnic diversity.
Full ethnic
gender
diversity.
Gender identification.
Yeah.
You got it, the whole deal. You just need to be, like, completely recyclable in your whole life. Like, off-the-grid green energy.
Oh,
and you guys
goodness,
are literally
no.
the future of the world.
Well, I think, though, like, the actual most important thing, well, not actual most important thing, but one of the main important things is sex, so I don't know how that's going to work out.
Oh, you're not interested in her and she's not interested in you.
Yeah.
That sounds like a perfect marriage. No.
like every other straight heterosexual marriage on earth.
Yeah. And the sex will be bad.
She's like, oh, my God, I don't want sex with him. And he's like, oh, her again?
I
that's
know.
Every couple I know.
She's like, oh, I don't want her to shag me again.
No, it's just too much for me.
Amanda, do you have any comments on this? You usually have some insightful things to say about these kinds of things, and you're the youngest here, so sometimes those fresh ideas break through the clutter.
I think this is amazing. It's like a new type of modern love, you know? It's great.
All right, even though they don't love each other.
Mm. No, it just marriage shows that how the jaw can bring you together. No matter who you are, what you like, what you're into.
Sia, there was no... Was there any kind of connection between you two? Was it just really...
She's an amazing person. Oh. We're great on a friendly level.
Okay. But you actually have a connection. Like, there's a person you actually know and like to be around.
And now we've made, like, Instagram official. We followed each other. That's how we remembered. And she got the footage back. And then she sent it to me yesterday. So that's how.
If you opi-copi correctly, you can do lifetime friendships in a few hours. But I'm feeling a bit like a proud parent because I said, like, I've done 13 opi-copis, but I haven't done the last three.
You've done 13?
Yeah, yeah. And that's not counting Easter Fest. So I used to do one in Easter it was a waste of time because of the schlep. But it was like night in Easter in the rain and they stopped doing it. But I've done those two. So, but for the last 3 years, I think I haven't been because I just like got over it. The heat. Mm. Now, also, I got fat since then. So the idea of doing it in October is the end of the world. It's hot to do it in August.
Chilly at
night, hot in the day. I can like October. You got two options, like desert summer or rain. Anyway, so off I send you. It's your first. Well, I didn't personally send you, but I watch you go off, and you go to Opie, and you're going to report back on what's happened. And you come back, and I'm like, okay, young one, how was it, and how did you do? Well, I got fucked up and married a lesbian. I'm like, see ya. That'll do it. Well, here's your lightsaber. You're
a Jedi.
You're a Jedi.
Hey.
Well done.
I played the clip yesterday.
The new trailer.
The new trailer for Star Wars yesterday. No one is excited except Ben was kind of
I'll
excited.
I'll full nerdgasm on that.
Me too.
Ooh. Yeah, I'm
I watched it another three times yesterday.
Yeah,
just the trailer over.
Mark Hamill just gets me so excited. But yes, he charges $300 for autographs at Comic-Con.
What?
Yeah, my buddy Rocco from the States. When I visited the States, I made friends with a barman. Me and my buddy Gumpy, we made friends, and Tree, his wife.
Gumpy.
We made friends
Gumpy,
with
Tree
Gumpy
and
Tree and I. We made friends with a barman in Brooklyn who's like a great barman, a super rad dude. And his main thing is acting and cosplaying. And he does Deadshot and one or two other comic characters. And he does Comic-Cons. And he dressed, his shit is amazing.
He dresses up like a character from like one of the movies or shows.
He spends all of his time crafting these outfits. Yeah. It's incredible. And he goes to the conventions all around, but the New York one's his main one because all of his homies are there, and he's like one of the top tier dudes. Mm. And he's like, he stood in an hour in a queue for like an hour to get an autograph from Mark Hamill, and it was $299.
Wow.
And people are in a queue that takes an hour to meet him, have a photo.
Well, he is Luke Skywalker.
So I would have been, what a dick, though. Well,
as a fan, do you think it's worth it?
It's just not. It's disingenuous. It's the same as the Harvey Weinstein sex.
Oh, come on. It's not the same.
No, it is. Okay, it's not the same as rape. Okay, it's not the same as rape. But it's the same as the guilt friendship. It's like, I want your autograph because you're like a hero of mine, and you, like, I got Lars Ulrich's autograph tattooed on my leg. He didn't charge me. He was cool. Like, I wouldn't have got it. Like, I don't want to pay you for your autograph. I'm a fan. That's enough.
That's a little over 4,000 rand.
Tattoo. Show me that.
Underneath one of my 3 Metallica tattoos.
Ooh.
Oh. Yes.
Lars. I also have Randy Bly from Lamb of God, Jamie Joster from Hatebreed, and Steve Holt from 36 Crazy Fists autograph tattooed on me.
Okay, I don't know
what's
who, any
band
of those.
Called?
Don't worry.
They're metal as all hell.
What's
don't
the band worry. With the fists?
36 yeah. Crazy Fists.
You don't ever, you'll never hear that again, Sia, as long as you live.
Well, the way that you've been progressing through Opie Copy, eventually we can make a metal head of you.
You know what? This year I get married. Next year I go to a metal fest. Why not?
Oh, totally.
All right. Here's Vinny, who says, the only forgiveness for that Harvey Weinstein should be that everybody who he tried to mess with kick him a full-blown MMA kick in his sponge cunt one after the other. That will teach him. Shit, I forgot. Yes. The creep might actually enjoy that. Let's just send him to jail. Wow.
Yeah, well, that's an adjective of a noun rather that I haven't encountered before.
Yeah.
All right. Steve says, I love the show. Love you guys. There's a robot in Durban that is both red and green at the moment.
So it's pro-choice, in other words.
It's very pro-choice.
It's confused. That's all it is. And I think as well, what really has set the tone now in this whole entire Harvey situation is the fact that the wife has left. She's not pulling a Camille Cosby.
She's not doing a Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, she's just like, listen, dude, I'm not buying this. This is not happening. Goodbye.
And it's like Gareth alluded to earlier or said earlier, it's given her an out. Like, she can just ride out on the wave.
She's probably been looking at this man for the last
couple of years. If only he didn't have X, Y, and Z power over me and I could just leave the horrible fucker.
Right.
My wife wouldn't do that to me.
I wanted to.
No, your wife's still your wife, Sia.
Do you think the
Sia's the only person
your wife would never fuck
Sia
you
Sia is
over.
The only person in the room who's married.
Yeah, he's doing
Read
better. Sia is doing better at straight relationships than you and me.
That is true.
I don't mean to brag, folks, but
I'll take the knock. It's absolutely true.
Yeah. I only ever wanted to marry one woman. She fled the continent. So you're doing a lot better than me. Dude, do you think Kylo Ren and Rey are siblings or cousins or what?
Are we going to have a serious Star Wars
conversation?
I would like
to know what your prediction and theory for the revelations
for those people
movie.
Who don't care about Star Wars.
Go have a wee.
Sorry. Yeah. Okay. I don't know. Here's how I always thought. Rey must be Luke's daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was how I felt after the first new episode.
Yeah.
I thought she must be Luke's daughter. And now, and we know that Kylo is Han Solo and Leia's son.
Yes.
Right? Now, he killed his father in the first episode. And in this one, it looks awfully like he's going to kill his mother. And we know that,
Carrie Fisher
is dead.
But based on Rogue One, where they recreated her digitally,
they
could actually ostensibly keep her around.
They could. So that, and who knows, because this thing
but
is so
secret. They probably won't.
It is so secret that people have... I read an article yesterday. This is how super nerd I am sometimes. I read an article yesterday on all the clues that trailer, they break it down scene by scene. Yeah. Has in it that we could glean about the story that's coming.
Well, the first trailer, even the shape of the movie poster that was originally released, is a big allusion to the concept of the Grey Jedi, which comes out of some like really deep canonical fiction where there was an ancient order of Jedis that were neither like dark side nor evangelical.
Right.
And they had managed to harness everything, and they were like an order that kept order in the universe for a long time and then eventually discontinued. They have a symbol. You see see him reading. It's the first time you see books. You see him in that first trailer. He finds a book in a cave and he's looking at it. And as he closes it, you see that that logo, that shape on the front. And that's the Grey Jedi logo. And like, bring balance to the Force is what mm-hmm. Luke is supposed to do. So if he can create a Jedi, or he himself is a Jedi, that is like both able to be angry and use it constructively and also see the big picture and the greater good. So like, basically, if a dickhead that deserves it needs to be decapitated, well, then decapitate him.
Mm-hmm. I mean, so in other words, you're not evil or good.
Yeah, you're pragmatic and for the greater good.
Yeah.
And,
okay,
your means can justify your
ends. Are you saying Kylo Ren and Rey are brother and sister?
There's always this family vibe, and it's like there's got to be some connection between them, and like, what is it?
So why would Leia and Han have kept the son but thrown away the daughter?
Well, I mean, that happened to Luke and Leia. They let the one daughter be raised by royalty and shipped the other one off to the desert to be watched over
on
by
Tatooine.
Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
Yeah, on Tatooine. To be water farmers.
Sorry.
So you're saying it's just... Because a lot of people
There's got to be some connection between them, and there's lots of speculation as what it is. Doesn't necessarily have to be siblings, but they've got to be connected in some way. And Luke,
well, they might be cousins. And if the Luke has a daughter called Rey, theory holds, we never know who the mother is. Maybe we'll find out if there is, if that's the case. Then Rey might be cousins of a cousin of Kylo's.
Also, we know from Episode 7 that like Luke started some new Jedi. He tried to restart mm-hmm. the temple and do some new Jedi Academy, and then like Kylo basically smoked everybody.
Yeah.
So like he needs to go to Rey's court and be like, look, I started a Jedi business. It failed, but I learned a lot in the process. I've got this one young protege lady, this young girl. She's got lots of promise. I'd like to try again.
Well, I just have to tell you that trailer, I mean, having watched it as many times as I have, I'm so excited about Star Wars. I'm still 15 deep down inside.
My understanding is that they're going to continue doing them ad nauseum now forever, which I can totally live with. So in theory, it goes, sure. It goes a Star Wars trilogy ongoing, whatever you call it now, episode, and then a Star Wars story. So, for example, they do Episode 7, and then a year later, Rogue One, and then Episode 8 a year later, and then the Han Solo movie a year later,
right.
And then Episode 9 a year later, and by then they will have some other shit in production.
Jeez.
But, like, you wonder, is there going to be in the Skywalker saga another trilogy, or are they eventually going to go, okay, cool, set that aside. Now we're in this universe that's so well established, we're going to start with completely new characters. Because in the literature and the official canonical stories that are like authorized by George Lucas, this thing goes over millennia.
Yeah.
Thousands of years.
It stretches.
Orders have risen and fallen. The universe has been totally governed by the Sith. The Sith have actually like been quite successful government. You know, you've had the Jedi's in charge. You've had them eradicated, rise up again. All sorts of shit.
Right.
They are milking this for all it's worth.
It's just going to be ongoing.
This is why Disney paid billions for it. Billions and billions. Because they realized they could milk this thing forever. And you know where the most of the money comes from? Not from the movies.
The merchandising.
Really?
Merchandising.
Go into any kid's store. You've got nephews and nieces.
It's the toys.
You can't move in a toy store for Star Wars stuff. You know what I'm talking about. Amanda, you've seen.
I've seen some awesome Star Wars stuff. Like, I'm not into Star Wars.
There's a whole Star Wars Lego.
I once saw this like hairy
universe.
Huge character. Like, I don't know.
Chewbacca.
It was amazing.
I've got big stormtroopers about 18 inches tall on my speakers in my lounge. But my nephew,
totally normal.
My little nephew Tabu is 9. He's
you got a nephew called Tabu?
Yeah, and he's blonde with blue eyes, and his cousin Josh is like fully black.
How does this work?
One of my best friends, Louis, who's of Afrikaans stock and a brilliant guy, he was dating a girl called Nini. Louis and Nini are both wonderful people, and they had a breakup, and then a few months later they went for and I was working at FHM, and I remember Louis arrived at work just looking pale, and I was like, dude, at that stage we both smoked, and I was like, dude, we got to talk, what's wrong? No, I don't talk. I'm like, dude, I can see something's wrong, let's go have a cigarette. and talk. Now, he got back together with Nini for a, like, look, let's give each other our CDs back and have a thing. And 3 months later, she called and said, listen, dude, I'm pregnant. And, like, they had this one thing. After dating, they had this one encounter. Don't know why that's even relevant, but now you have the background. So now she and he have decided they're going to have this kid, and they're going to not get back together but raise it, like, cooperatively. And they are absolutely model parents in terms of, like, not
sure. That sounds like a good arrangement.
Yeah, so but Louis, because of Afrikaans vibes, his family's from Bloemfontein. His dad's very, very, very successful local businessman who I won't mention, but profoundly successful local businessman. And in those days, he grew up on a farm, and, like, there was, like, a lot of, like, you would be raised basically by the domestic staff.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, there were lots mm-hmm. of them.
Right.
And his name is, like, I don't remember, but it's like Hermanus, Stephanus, de Blanche, whatever Afrikaans, like, lineage name, the dad. And his whole life since he was little, the people on the farm that sort of raised him, they called him Tabu.
Yeah.
And he's gone by that his whole life. They
called Louis Tabu.
No, they called Louis's dad Tabu.
Okay. Oh, okay.
So, and he's gone by that his whole life. The dad has gone by Tabu his whole life. It's not his name, but it's on his business card. It's on his.
All right.
And he's always been Tabu to everyone that knows him. And so now that they're doing this kid cooperatively but not getting married, Nini was like, okay, he's having
Nini's black.
No, Nini's white.
Okay.
He's having my surname. And you can choose his first name. That was their compromise. He's going to have the mom's surname, mm-hmm. but Louis can choose the first name. So he named his son after his dad, Tabu.
Okay.
Tabu's blonde and blue eyes, and for all intents and purposes, looks like the perfect Aryan child.
Mm-hmm.
Nini's sister, pediatric nurse, one day a Zimbabwean lady came in HIV positive, but thank God the ARVs worked. And literally, they went to go and clean the baby, and when they came back, she had just ducked. She was not interested, and she just bailed. So now the hospital's got a baby. The social workers come take it after a while, and Nini's sister was just like, I'm not giving this baby back. Bring me the papers to fill in. I'm having this baby.
Wow.
And so Nini and her sister for a long time lived together, and these children are separated by a few months. And so Joshua is adopted, and he's as black as you can get, and Tabu is blonde with blue eyes, and they basically have grown up as brothers, and I'm kind of Tabu's godfather, and he loves Marvel comics, drawing, and Star Wars, and I love all of those things. So I'm like, I took him to the admittedly kind of shitty Cape Town Comic Con and bought him some stuff, and I'm like his cool uncle that knows of comics, and he is so into Star Wars, and
yes.
Because they digitally remastered and redid the special effects and everything on the original Star Wars movies, like, they fully work for him. That's not like watching your dad's shit from 30 years ago or more.
That's interesting.
He knows the first three movies, then the shitty prequels that had some redeeming features but not much. He, like, knows it inside and out. So he's 9 and he's going to be a Star Wars head
for the rest of his life.
Forever, yeah.
And you see, this is why Disney paid all that money to Lucas to buy all the stuff.
So they knew.
Yeah, they've got an endless merchandising trajectory here. This could go on for 1,000 years. They could be making Star Wars movies until humanity is exhausted.
Yeah.
And I'm sure now everyone is looking at the Harry Potters, the Lord of the Rings, like, side.
Well, they gave that a bash. The Harry Potter thing, they gave it a bash. Now there's the American Wizards. Kind of passed me by.
Early Days of New York, something.
And there's a new book. It's like the Harry Potter and the Much Later, or like whatever.
And the Much.
No, but it is. There's like a new Harry Potter book from recently where it's.
Yeah, and they did with Lord of the Rings. They went and did all those kind of prequels as well. Mm. With the dragons and all that stuff.
The games are where the story gets expanded. Like the video games, apparently they've done a really good job of, obviously without Tolkien's input, but they've done a really good job of, like, adding to the stories and adding histories and stuff.
You can make more money out of the games and the merchandising than you'll ever make out of the movies. So the movies just carry the story, and the rest is filled in by all the stuff that you can sell to people for money.
So what's the proposed release date for The Last Jedi?
December the 9th, somewhere around
this year.
December-ish.
Okay.
It's always in December, it's over the Christmas vibes.
So you can hold on to yourself.
Pretty much every Christmas holiday time vibe, there's going to be a Star Wars movie forever. Or there will either be an apocalypse or a Star Wars movie, one or the other.
Merry Christmas.
That's what you're going to hear.
Spaceballs.
And that's all
you get. I am your uncle's mother's father's nephew's ex-plumber's secretary's sister-in-law's ex-boyfriend's father.
Oh.
No! Well, I mean, my brother's madness for Star
Wars. What does that make
goes
us?
So deep, he called his child Luke. I think it's because he, of course, denies that it's because of Star Wars.
But this
Han
Solo movie looks like it could be a massive jewel. Hey?
Oh yeah,
it looks like it could be seriously cool. You find out how he became.
I think
like
we've just bored to death most of the people who don't care about this stuff.
Streaming levels have dropped to one third.
Listen, I've sat here and I tried not to judge you for your self-confessed nerdgasm, so
it's fine. Well, when you talk about Oprah, we give you a break.
Well, I just wish Oprah would come back with a sequel and a prequel and a new season.
I saw a headline on, I think it's Heesgenoot or something, walking past in the shop that said, like, Oprah's going to jewel president. Is there any substance behind
she's
that?
She's going to jewel president.
Because now president is basically a popularity concept.
It is.
Americans are so far removed, and it happens in other...
Hold on, Gord. Becoming president in a democracy has always been a popularity
contest. Yes, but it used to be the most popular person who by trade and profession is a politician.
Now it's like The Rock will walk it.
No. The Rock will walk it, and it'll only be a battle if he's up against Will Smith. Mm. He will walk it against Bernie Sanders, against any lifelong politician that's been politicianing for his whole life.
So if it is just a popularity contest... I mean, who should we be looking to as the next candidate for a perfect... I mean, who in South Africa would be a good president if it's a popularity contest? Forget about the politicians. Take them out. Who would it be? Who's popular enough in this country?
Bonang would be our president.
But no, she wouldn't. She wouldn't.
By popularity.
Yeah. I don't think so.
Who's like...
Casper
like
Nyvest. Fill up the parliament.
Nyvest.
Fill up the cabinet. Hashtag.
Imagine. Imagine.
Who's like a big sports star? Is like Dumeleng Kune still a thing? AB de Villiers?
Wade.
Wait for Nika. Caster Semenya. I'd actually vote for that.
Yeah. Caster Semenya for president.
I mean, imagine with Oprah, like the same people that like were that felt like they'd been marginalized and rednecks were not mainstream enough anymore that voted Trump in. It'd be like, you're telling me I got to vote for a woman? Yeah. Not only that, but she's a black woman.
Black women's.
Well, I'll be dead before that ever happens. A Pentecost will come.
Oprah Winfrey of the Oprah
Next
Winfrey.
Next thing she's going to make us all believe in science.
Well, you remember.
Listen, all people and nations. The Antichrist has come. Oprah Winfrey of the Oprah Winfrey Show and founder of the New Earth Church is the Antichrist. The prophecy has been fulfilled.
What prophecy?
Please watch this sermon and then run tell everybody that you know. The Antichrist has come. Run, children, and tell everybody that you know.
I would make the
Oprah Winfrey is the Antichrist.
How do you like that?
I would make the best ever evangelist. I want to actually talk to Raise Corp about, I want to start an evangelical service.
Oh, that's what
I will scare the shit out of people. I will praise so exuberantly. People will leave there feeling blessed, forgiven,
Hallelujah.
Inspired, judgmental of others, all that cool shit want after church. And I will make millions. I will hire, that dude who kicks people out of his mansion when there's flooding. What's he called?
Joel Austin.
I will hire him and he will literally be a minion.
Well, you already can officiate weddings. So you're like a quarter of the way there.
I officiate the shit out of an atheist wedding, or rather an agnostic, non-theological wedding.
Uh-huh. Well, what was CS?
It's not a wedding. It's not a wedding about not believing in God. It's just a wedding where God wasn't invited.
So, Sia, was your wedding a spiritual one?
Well, given the fact that all parties concerned were drunk and the person officiating
at least.
Yeah. I love that you got married. This is the cherry on the top of your year of yes.
Yeah, and the person who officiated it was wearing a tie-dye shirt. You can just kind of...
Okay. Do your parents know you got married at all?
No, not yet. Actually, I should break it
This
to
is
them.
So untraditional. This is the most untraditional wedding ever. He doesn't involve his parents. He doesn't even get their permission. He doesn't talk to them. She doesn't involve hers. It's just great.
In a mixed race mixed gender identification wedding. Who pays Lobola to who?
I don't even think Lobola was a concept.
So
much.
Tradition so doesn't come into it.
No. Do you know how it actually all began? When we were sitting around over the weekend and I was the only black guy there. So already I was just like, but I'm so used to it now. It's not a thing. And we're all just chilling. And there's these like middle-aged white men who quite bike all over the property as like security for the weekend. And this one guy quad bikes past us and he stops. So I was like, oh Lord, what's happening? Like, is the RV a beer starting? Because, oh, black Jesus, this is not the time for it to start. So this dude gets off, he comes to us, he's like, hello guys, what are happening here? I'm like, well, we're just chilling all together, he goes.
Marrying a lesbian, that's what.
Why didn't you say,
even beforehand?
Why didn't you go, what do you want?
Oh, you will get the cherry on top in all of this, he goes. Oh, well, I are just wanting to tell you all that. Then he looks over at me, extends his hand, and he goes, no offense, but there are people who are going around the farm and they are stealing. So,
Jesus. So he pointed
I've never encountered that shit at me.
So I was like,
so
oh, Lord, what is happening?
And he looked at you.
That's
you
so
should have
disappointing.
Gone, I want your quad bike. I'm going to take it.
Yeah. He says, they are going around in a combi and they are stealing even women's clothes.
They're black.
Yeah, of course, because thieves are only black men, evidently.
Great.
So I was like, someone hold my earrings. I'm about to, like, you know, clutching my pearls.
Or but, Indian families.
Yeah, evidently. So, like, long story short, I was just like, this is not going to ruin my weekend. Like, everyone was now like, let's just let the stoosh walk on by. So they're like, Sia, we really do still love you, despite anything that that douche can say.
I find that cuck disappointing.
So to prove my love, Carla married into
me. I find that super disappointing, man. It's like one thing that Opie Corpie I haven't encountered is like,
no,
I've
weird.
Nearly died, I've fallen down the kopje. Back in the day, they hadn't paved the kopje, you had to climb it, through the thorns. And I fell down, my buddy Dave Owens from Lithium literally saved my life. I got poisoned thorns, I nearly died a couple of times.
That's normal,
and I've,
right?
All sorts of shit happened, but I haven't seen people being like broadly discriminated against.
That is so weird.
No, you would expect that not to happen at one of those kinds of things.
But the reason why it wasn't even a thing, because like this dude, not to condone his ways, he's like 60 something. He, in his mind, genuinely, he thinks, no offense, yeah, there had to be.
In his mind, like excusing himself was actually like deracisting the situation.
Yes.
But when we come to like see a story, like, that happens to me quite a bit because obviously, like, my family's white and they love camping. I just do not know why we had to go to these places.
I hate camping. Yeah.
And then they just the owners and stuff are just like, what goes on here? Like, you know, do you bring your nanny with when you camp? You know.
One of the reasons that I stopped Opie Corpieing, aside from the fact that literally, like, I realized there were a few of them where I was subconsciously probably trying to commit suicide with the amount of substance intake that took place, but like I reached a point where I can usually there's bands and media organizations and whatever that I can arrange a ticket through, but then you stay in the artisan media tent and you have to camp there and whatever, so or you've got to stay in the glamping sections like Krief Hotel and Harambe and that, and it's like 1500 rand a night. So I'm like no longer willing to rough it for free because I'm old and I'm sick of that shit. But it also isn't worth it for me to get 14, 15, 16 or Opie Corpies under my belt for it to cost me as much as an overseas trip.
Like,
I'm just like, you know what? I've done it, and I'd rather spend my next 8,000 rand on tickets to
Europe. You've put in your dues.
If a band that I can't live without, because I went to LA to watch Slipknot, and then Slipknot, because of the singer needing an operation, postponed the show. The LA trip was still awesome, but like I didn't end up seeing Slipknot. So if a band that's bucket list for me come and headline Opie, and they're moving further and further away from the type of music that is bucket list for me that I haven't already seen, which is only a handful of bands, I would go to watch a band that I cannot live without seeing, and that is pretty much all.
I've heard this quote by someone who I can't even remember regarding camping, and now I feel exactly the same way. They said, why should I work hard for my money from Monday to Friday, just over a weekend, to pretend like I don't have money?
But look, some people really dig the outdoorsy vibe. I get that. So I understand
No ham.
I purely for the purposes of festivaling in South Africa and in other countries as well, purely for the purposes of the Joel Suffer camping. Mm. Some people love to camp. You go live next to a little stream. I get it.
Well, Amanda says this is what her parents do.
I understand it.
They love it. And we even have a caravan.
Oh! Oh, no. No, 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 no. Oh.
You're whiter than me, Amanda.
And, No. We haven't gone for like 2 years now, and then last night everyone was like, we should try again next year.
Did you immediately say
then
no?
Then I was like, well, I'm 21 next year, so I definitely don't have to go with you. I can definitely stay behind.
Yeah, you don't need to go.
Earn the right to not have to enjoy a
all
holiday.
Right. Yeah. Listen, everybody, we're out of time. We will see you tomorrow between 6 and 9. Thank you, Gord,
such
for popping by.
Thank
it's always nice to
me.
See you. Thank you, Sia. Thank you, Amanda. Thank you, Mubs and Ben, who had to evacuate early. They both had things to do.
Thoughts and prayers are with Ben driving in that condition.
Hashtag thoughts and prayers.
Thoughts and prayers. Hashtag bring Ben back.
Bring Ben back safely.
Safely, not safely.
Without muscle relaxants on the return trip.
Yes, see, he was relaxed as...
I've never seen him so
relaxed.
He was
so relaxed.
Wearing flip-flops, a long pant, a short-sleeve T-shirt, a scarf as well. Yeah.
What did he send me? He sent me something at 4 a.m. this morning.
Oh, that was really like, high. What did
you say? I said something to him that was meant to provoke him into tuning me in. He was just like, God. Like, Ben's never, I was like, this isn't sport, Ben. I'm not going to have you in this condition. I want you fighting fit.
He sent something. I'm trying to find it now.
I love Ben, man. He's the most unique nut job in the universe.
He sent this picture of the hailstones in someone's hands. Mm-hmm. And then when you click on the picture, it's that black
that
guy with
giant,
a huge
giant
penis.
Cock.
That's what he was thinking of at 4 in the morning. I rest my case. I'm done.
That was awesome, dudes. Thanks again for having me. I'll see you next week.
Cool, everybody. Very good. Have an excellent day in the company of cliffcentral.com. Sia, give us an idea of what's coming up.
Yes, well, today is a Wednesday, and so coming up on a Wednesday, 9 a.m. is Frankly Speaking with Rory and Andrew. Coming up at 10 a.m. then is Living It Up with Lerato, which is brought to you by Rally Properties. 11 a.m., G-Man the Ad Man. 12 p.m., Futurology. 1 p.m., 360 Biz. 2 p.m., it's Mark and Luli and Rehab with the Worst Guys. 3 p.m. is a replay of this show. And 6 p.m., Formerly Unbranded, is a new edition of the Brain and Brand Show. I got a bone to pick.
I don't want you monkey mouth motherfuckers. This is CliffCentral.com.